let's move on a bit now to talk about what happened, what your memories are of the beginning of, you know, the garrison and the Second World War. What happened then? Because you're now about 11, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
About the garrison referring to...
Well, just maybe we talk about, you know, because we'll just talk about whether you remember the sort of build-up to this war, if you knew something was going on, what you could remember that.
Well, the garrison at the time in Gibraltar was normally was always two resident battalions, and one of them, I remember distinctly seeing them march from the railings round to Second Heart Church, so the Welsh Guards, which were in Gibraltar at the time, marching to war from somewhere, led by the corps of drums, fifes and drums, down Castle Road to go, probably going to the docket to board a troop ship or something, going to the war. Eventually, this was just prior to the war, or mainly when the war had started. Then after that, they closed the schools, we stopped going to school, and then the evacuation came around, obviously, that they started evacuating us. And then we were sent to, first to French Morocco. Ourselves, we went to Casablanca, where a place called Ain Sabah, that's where we were put, a little town or something, and we were herded into a sort of a storeroom, full of straw on the floor, and that's what we had for my grandfather was evacuated to us, and he and his wife, his second wife, Auntie Rose, they went looking for a house. They found a house, and we lived there until the time we had to come back. I'm not very, very, very sure about how we got back. I mean, I know we came back on the ship that had brought the French troops back to Morocco, after France capitulated. But I can't remember exactly how we got from the house to the ship, that I can't remember. I remember arriving in the ships. The ships were filthy because they had not been cleaned out and all that. I think that is actually been very much recorded. The governor refused to send us ashore, but eventually the people who eventually came, the AACR, the Advancement of Rights for Gibraltarians, whatever. So eventually it was suggested to Hassan, went to make petitions, and we were allowed to come ashore. And eventually we were evacuated, mostly to the UK, but my family, my mother, my sister, myself, we were evacuated to Shal Madeira, because the people who had opted to go somewhere else and pay something for it, like my father did, we were sent to Madeira rather than the UK.
Was that sort of random then? You say what did you say that your father paid? So
yeah, he opted to pay for us to go to Madeira rather than to the UK.
Because he knew that it would be hard in the UK.
Precisely. I mean, and there's also, I've actually written a story about it, I'm writing it. A group of Indians from Gibraltar opted to go to India, paying their own way, rather than go to the official evacuation. And, it's a long story because the only person still alive is giving his story. He was 80 years old.
So hang on a minute, he's Indian?
Yeah.
So from India or from...
No, they were residents in Gibraltar. They were British Indians.
British Indians.
Businesses in Gibraltar. They had business in Gibraltar, and they opted to go to India with their families. But they were attacked, and they were... long story.
Yes.
Eventually they were sunk by a British submarine, thinking it was for a German ship, because it was flying German flag.
Why were they flying a German flag?
This was a sea raider, a German raider, but they used to carry all flags. But then when they travelled into the Mediterranean, going to take these people, the prisoners to France, that collected from other British ships, they were seen by a British submarine with a swastika that was sunk.
What a story. And you're writing that at the moment?
Yeah, well, at the moment. I'm waiting for some details about from Krishna, the fellow.
Were there, actually, that's an interesting point. I mean, were there quite a lot of different cultures in Gibraltar?
As far as I know, Indians, Jewish, and Roman Catholic. Well, when I say, where you can't call religion a culture, because, I mean, then you've got to include Church of Scotland, Church of England, Protestants, the Methodists and all that. I mean, but they were all Gibraltarian. The thing is that you ask anybody in Gibraltar, even Indians who've been born here, what are you? Oh, I'm Gibraltarian. They'll tell you I'm Gibraltarian. They won't tell you I'm Indian. I mean, it's just how it was. They were born in Gibraltar, lived in Gibraltar, and reared and brought up in Gibraltar. Simple as that.
So what can you remember about leaving, when you left Gibraltar? Did your father stay?
Oh, yeah, my father stayed there on the whole war.
And what was your father's job?
My father's job was working for the public health department. Mainly he used to help in the ambulance service. And also, you know, in many other things, he did all the sorts of things for public service. He was working for the public health, which was being run by the city council at the time.
But it must have been hard for your parents and for you to leave your father, because you knew, you know, you would be away for a while.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, we didn't know what was going to happen in the end. I mean, I can't remember all that sort of thing. I mean, it was a lapse of 4 years from the time we left Gibraltar, we came back. But, you know, I knew that all the men folk had been left behind, and he couldn't have left, because, I mean, anybody doing necessary work there, like, you know, official employees, things like that, all had to leave, like, you know, remain behind. Men were being behind.
And did he send you money to support you when you were in Madeira?
He had very little money to send us at the time, because his wages were being paid to keep us there all the time. But we were well looked after by the British Consulate in Madeira as well. He looked very well after us as well.
So, did your mother go to work in Madeira?
No. She didn't work.
And what about you two? Did you go to school?
Oh, yes, a British school for involved children in Madeira. Both went there. Teachers were a mixture of people who had been evacuated, mainly the ladies who had been evacuated from Gibraltar, who were school teachers, and there was a couple of English teachers who used to live in Madeira. The headmaster, Mr. Power, I don't know where he was from, you know, but we used to be taken from the hotels by bus to this school. And the buses in Madeira at the time were being run on coal, you know, the old system, the systems at the back of the bus. I remember that distinctly. As far as I can, until we came back to Gibraltar, then I opted not to go back to school. I went to work. I had to argue with my father, but eventually I went back to work.
Just one question I want to ask you about before we leave Madeira is, how did the sort of notion of Gibraltar, how was it kept alive? Because there were lots of, you know, you were quite young. 4 years is quite a long time in a young person's life, isn't it, when you're that young? I mean, did your mother talk about Gibraltar? Did you think about returning?
Oh, yeah, we kept ringing. We were used to communicating with my dad by means of letters, obviously, that sort of thing, you know. But we always wanted to get back to Gibraltar, it's like we're going now.
You're longing to go back. So when you went back to Gibraltar, what was it like after the army and the
A lot of services about, a lot of soldiers all over the way. Eventually they were, reduced to maybe one battalion, all that, but there's still a lot of services. A lot of the houses in Gibraltar had been commandeered by the army, and well, by the army, by the Ministry of War, whatever they used to call it at the time, the War Department, really. And some people didn't have any house to go to because they'd been either completely destroyed and, damaged to a certain extent that they could not do. So they had to start building, hence the Alameda State, Humphreys, as we know as Humphreys, and all other buildings are built, and people were coming back from the evacuation, were placed in centers that they, one being, for example, the existing at the time, the Cecil Hotel in Main Street, that was turned into a repatriation center, that's what they used to be called, and we were lucky, our house was all right, we went back, straight back to our house, but there's other people who had to be sent everywhere else, to there's an old asylum, Gavinas Asylum, near where we used to live, that was turned into another flats and also stores owned by the services in Town Range, which have now been refurbished completely, the area, that was turned into a repatriation centre as well. But all those barracks there, you know, they were, and Hargreaves Barracks was turned into a, that was where we used to live near, where we used to live, St. Jago's Barracks, all these places were turned into, as they were being emptied by the army, they were turned into repatriation centres, you know, quick build, separate rooms and all that, you know, quickly by wood and all that, and the people were housed like that eventually. And the house is still a problem in Gibraltar in some cases. Otherwise, everything was fine.
Tell me a little bit about your sort of perception about the relationship between the Gibraltarians and the military and the garrison.
No, we never had any problem. We used to relate all right. Obviously, we must bear in mind that at the time it was the people in the army weren't regular soldiers like days, they were drafted soldiers. You had any Tom, Dick, and Harry in the end, there were big fights in the main street when they came ashore. But between them, so, you know, I had the old three old bars there where they used to concentrate and had the old Spanish orchestra there playing and all that, you know, they used to get drunk, and all that. But between the Gibraltarians and the services, nothing. Of course, there was a couple of occasions. That was later in 1945 when they held a big military parade here in London where all these ship arrived in Gibraltar. I think it was one of the Australian carriers with the Australian soldiers coming back from Gibraltar, landed in Gibraltar, and there was a big fight there, and that concerned Gibraltarians, and that was, I think most people know about that one.
I don't. Tell me a bit more about that. I don't know about that.
Well, they got all drunk. The military police, possibly, as I can remember, arrested an Australian, you know, soldier or something, took him into a police station, because that's what is now still police station centre, and they all came, the whole thing, when came to try and, you know, break him out and all that into a police station. There was big, next morning there was blood all over outside the station, that sort of thing, you know. But in Gibraltarians, of course, were involved in it, especially police. I wasn't in the police at the time as yet. I don't know all about it, really, because of what happened. And also, on another occasion, an American ship came in, and they gave a bit of trouble as well, you know. I mean, but they were all, as I said, enlisted men who were from any, so were, you know, walk of life. I mean, they weren't really educated men. Some of them savages, like the Australians, I mean, you know, probably from the bush or people like that, you know.
So after the war, the rock, I mean, as well as there was a lot of, sort of infrastructure had gone as regards, you know, it being a place to live, like hospitals, schools. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Not much, because I don't know about the schools. I don't know much, because as I said, I started working immediately. We went back, I never went back to school anyway. My schooling finished in Madeira. When I went back, I went back to work. I worked as a job boy in the dockyard.
Why didn't you go back to school?
I wanted to work. I don't know why.
How old were you?
I must have been, I was 1945, about 16. About 16 I came back, 16, 14.
And your father and mother, were they cross?
It was at the kid on it, but in the end I had to give up.
And what was it like in the dockyard then? You're working in the dockyard?
Working mostly with UK people who were sent from the UK to work in the dockyard. They used to go UK agreement work, but used to come in Gibraltar, but I kept them all right. And eventually, mind you, I went back, then I left that, left the dockyard. I tried to become an apprentice. I failed in the first examination, was offered to go a second examination. I refused to go a second time, and I went and became an apprentice in the printing business, the Gibraltar Chronicle, where I learned the trade, and then I was called out. I was called to the army.